Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Houston, that was a tough one last night, man. It's a Reaction Tuesday presented by Coors Light, and we welcome your phone call, 713-572-4610. Heartbreaking. Exhilarating. Clint, that game had a little bit of everything, man. From the officials having to apologize for screwing up the timing in the 10-second runoff at the end of the first half. A lot of people think they butchered the PAT where Fairbairn missed it, the call on roughing the kicker, then he hit it the next time. We had everything in this football game except a Texans win, my friend.
Yeah, look, it was a big time Monday night game, and a lot of good to be taken from it, a lot of bad to be taken from it, a lot of cussing and discussing to be had today from 2 to 5 p.m. So get ready, buckle up, and turn it up one time for us, baby. It's day after the game, man. There ain't nothing better than breaking down the X's and O's of the game of football, especially after week one.
So let's break down the X's and O's, Clint, of how the Saints were able to get into field goal range for a 58-yarder by Will Lutz, one of the best kickers in football. They had 37 seconds to navigate from their own 25. How did that happen?
Well, it starts, you got a quarterback that's dropped back and made a decision 10,000 times in his NFL career. He's got about 75,000 yards career passing, five seasons of 5,000 yards or more. Oh, boy, it's pretty damn good, in case you didn't know. He's got a 1,500-yard back and a 1,400 yard receiver from last year. He's got the two best completion percentage seasons in the game. He is number one, I believe, in career completion percentage. This guy, that was the absolute best in the game, arguably, to ever do it. When you talk about getting completion, staying patient, moving the ball down the field, being absolute surgeons underneath and dissecting defenses, unfortunately, that's who you were up against on Monday night, because there's not – look, you give the rock back to a team up one with 37 seconds left and one timeout, you're going to beat 99% of the NFL. Me and Sean did the post-game show last night, Rick, and there's three teams on this schedule out of a 16-game season that I believe would have had a shooter's chance, a puncher's chance to come back. That's Drew Brees, that's Pat Mahomes, and that's Tom Brady. Anybody else, any other 13 games on that schedule, I believe the Texans come out with a W. Unfortunately, again, you got a Hall of Fame play caller and you got a Hall of Fame quarterback over there that is in control of every situation in a game, on the field, and they got the best of the Texans last night. Most importantly, though, Rick, the Texans blew their opportunity on the very last play of the game before the field goal with the soft coverage by Colvin. And all things considered, there was good, there was bad throughout. The first half, second half, there were ups and downs. There were opportunities where this team could have took control of the game. They didn't do it. All that said, there's an opportunity at the very end of the game. And last night I was pretty harsh on Romeo Crennel. I went back and watched the film. I'm backing off a rack. I think there were things that could have been done differently on both sides of the ball. I think you can say that about every game in the NFL from a play calling standpoint. Last night, that was not a bad call on that last play of the game. That was absolutely a bonehead play by 22 Aaron Colvin.
Okay, so first of all, I appreciate that you start with praise and credit for Drew Brees and Ted Ginn and Sean Payton. Because they, and not necessarily Ginn, but Brees and Payton are amazing. And they beat us last night. But now let's downshift into the Romeo Crennel and the Aaron Colvin. So to the naked eye, you're watching and you see Colvin should be pressed up on Ginn. Look, they only had to go 7, 8, 9, 10 yards, Clint. They didn't need 15. They didn't need 17. They needed a chunk, a small little chunk. And Aaron Colvin was about 9 yards off the line of scrimmage. at the snap of the ball, and then backpedaled a time or two, and then came up and basically just touched Ted Ginn as he caught the ball and fell down there. So you are taking culpability away from Romeo Crennel on that play.
It's not about culpability. It's not about fault. It's not about blame. It's about that play call was not a bad play call in that situation if you really dissect it. And we're going to dissect this thing in Stern Talk down the road a little bit, but in today's show, but this at the end of the day, that was a result of Colvin getting beat earlier in the game by Ted Ginn on a big third and four, third and five, and in a combination of him probably not playing with confidence at this point in time, and just at the end of the day, giving the all things considered, this situation in the game, I don't know that you want a different quarterback calling the shots than Drew Brees. And Aaron Colvin gave Drew Brees a window to get a completion, put them in field goal range, but more importantly, allow it all to happen under 6 seconds and for them to use their last timeout. That was the one thing that you could not do. You could have even given up a 13 or 14 yard throw down the field and been in better shape because the clock would have expired.
Good call.
Again, we're going to dig into that in Stern Talk down the road a little bit. First Stern Talk of 2019 with my guy Tricky Rick. We're going to dig into that and a couple of the big plays that the Texans had as well in the 3 o'clock hour. So I don't want to give you too much. I want to leave a little bit of meat on that bone for me to dig into at 3 o'clock. But there's no doubt about it that as I dug into it, man, I'm not as critical on Romeo Crennel today as I was last night before I watched the film.
Interesting, and I know you probably had sound up on the game. I don't know if you were listening to the radio call or the TV call, I was listening to the radio call on the way home. Booger McFarland was calling out Romeo Crennel right before the snap of that ball in terms of,
When something like that happens, you automatically go, well, they were coached to do that. And I just don't know that that's the case.
Interesting.
I don't know that when you break down the entire play that they were coached to do that according to what everybody else was doing. So it's interesting. It's frustrating. But again, I mean, that's why I love to watch film. It's why I love to try to let all the emotions settle before I go in hard on folks and just call it the way it is. And so, I'm pulling the reins back a little bit on Romeo Crennel. I thought he did a creative job last night for the first half and keeping him to 3 points. I think he struggled in the third quarter when they put up 3 touchdowns, but that's not the first time that the Saints put up 3 touchdowns on somebody. I thought he did a nice job adjusting, even though it was a little bit too late when it was late in the third quarter, early in the fourth, when he brought Whitney and got the sack and he started adding some 4-man rush and some 5-man rush there every now and then. So I think he probably took a little those adjustments should have been made immediately at halftime instead of coming out and slow playing, adjusting late in the third quarter. So, again, I'm still waiting for the coach's cut to drop so I can really dig into this, into what happened and what didn't happen. But, at the end of the day, it was an entertaining game. Texans fans should feel really, really good about where they're at, Rick, where this team's at. You should feel better about this team today than you felt about them 24 hours ago. I know it's hard to say after a loss, but you should feel better about them when it's all said and done.
I think the New Orleans Saints are going to win the Super Bowl this year. My pick is them over the Chiefs. So this wasn't a loss to Jacksonville or Tennessee. This was a loss to a team that is right at the tippy top of the NFL. I want you to hear Bill O'Brien after the game last night. We're going to hear Bill O'Brien from earlier today later on in the show, but this is B.O.B. talking about that last setup play that New Orleans had before the field goal.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's tough. I mean, you can't, the rules are tough. That's the rules we all play by. I'm not saying anything about the rules. I'm just saying after 5 yards, you can't touch them. So you got to get some heat on them. You got to be able to play coverage. You got to get some heat on. You got to mix it up. And we just, they made some plays. They've got a really good offense. I thought at times our defense played really well. But, like I said, it was a hard-fought football game, and we just need to go back to work. When we get back there, we just got to shore some things up.
I agree. I thought they did some very, very good things defensively. I told everybody going into this thing from the hour that we spent on air yesterday before you guys took over, Rick, I told everybody the key is going to be mixing this thing up. You're not going to see the same type of front and the same approach that you saw with Jadeveon Clowney. It's just not going to happen. It can still be effective. You can still contain a really good offense. And they did for a half, and they came out in the second half and didn't adjust, and it ended up biting them in the tail. But for the most part, there was a lot of mix-up. There was a lot of keep in front, umbrella, bend, don't break type of defense. There was one time that Kamara caught they caught Kamara on Cunningham, and they gashed the Texans. But they limited those. Overall, they limited those. These guys, they're going to make plays. And when it's all said and done, when you go – everybody in the league, every single team in the league, here's what you do when you go play the Saints. You go, we've got to be in position in the fourth quarter to make a play to win this thing. Unfortunately, you gave them the football with 37 seconds left, and they were able to make the last play of this football game. And there are things that you can point at in that last drive on the defensive side of the football that would have given you a better chance to win the game, period. Any way you cut it, that's the case. And so hats off to the Texans. I salute the hell out of them boys for going out there and playing lights out and putting yourself in a position to beat one of the top four teams in the league right now. I think if you rolled the dice and played that game at that fourth quarter again, it's same thing. It could go either way, man. You're one play here, one play there away from winning a game. Rick, I tell guys all the time, man, you and I have talked about it, like if you get to the AFC Championship or when you get deep in the playoffs, it's all about situational football. One drive, one penalty, or one drive you don't convert a third down that you should have converted a third down. That's what makes the difference between winning and losing when you're playing this caliber team. Yesterday, one corner, a slot corner, playing 9 yards off at the snap and pedaling and opening his hips and giving up an 8-yard gain, 7-yard gain right there in 4 seconds cost you this football game. And I'm not banging on Colvin that something's got to be done at the slot corner. But in the moment, I'm not banging on Colvin. The truth of the matter is it came down to one play. It came down to one situation, and the Saints got the best of the Texans and won the game.
Now, the one thing about Colvin is he got beat by Taysom Hill on a touchdown. He got beat by Traquan Smith on a touchdown. This is one of the most brutal cornerback games I have ever watched in my 50 years on planet Earth.
I don't know if the Taysom Hill was on him. If you watch how they played that on the other side, they manned it up and didn't switch it. And then on their side, they tried to switch it. You don't know if that's Roby, because it started out as Roby's guy. And when they ran a crossing action, the two receivers switched. Then you don't know. I don't know if they were supposed to switch that or if they were supposed to stick with the man that they originally had. I'll tell you this. The other side, they stuck with the man that they originally had. So sometimes you got to just take your hat off to the Saints, and you got to say, hey, they're awfully damn good at what they do. They got future Hall of Famers. They get paid, and they're going to win some. Last night, the Texans held them under their average score last year. Now, it was only by half a point or by 1 point, but they held them under that average, and they had a chance to win that football game and didn't pull it off.
Kind of ironic that after a 6-sack allowed game for the offensive line, Nick Martin gets a 3-year, $33 million extension, $18.35 million guaranteed. We'll talk more about that as we move along here from the Twin Peaks Studios on a Reaction Tuesday presented by Coors Light. 713-572-4610 is the number. J.J. Watt's quietest game as an NFL player. Why? How? That's next on Clint and Kamla. All right, welcome back on a Reaction Tuesday. Clint and Kamla from the Twin Peaks Studios and Reaction Tuesday presented by Coors Light. 713-572-4610. J.J. Watt, very quiet night. And, boy, he took it head on after the game last night, putting blame on the defense.
Yeah, the offense did an incredible job. I mean, the offense deserves a ton of credit for the way they played, especially in the second half. And then obviously that last drive giving us the lead. And then as a defense, that's on us. I mean, there's a lot of things that were on us. Holding the 3 points in the first half and then give up 27 in the second. I mean, it's terrible. So for our offense to give us the lead with whatever it was, 40 seconds left, and to not win that game, I mean, that's bad football by us on defense, and so we will take 100% of that blame, as we should.
Absolutely, and that's the truth of the matter. Is you come out in the second half and you give up too much too quick, and I think that's the frustrating part of this thing for JJ and the defense is they didn't just kind of they didn't have to fight back. They rode, they being the Saints, Uncle Momentum for the third quarter and put up 21 points really, really quickly. And now, in their defense, J.J. Watt in the defense, they didn't get any help from the offense in that third quarter with the opportunities that came up for them to either capitalize and get points or just maintain a drive. So, nonetheless, I mean, there's no doubt about it. The defense cannot do what they did in the second half and fold up shop the way that they did, particularly in the third quarter.
So, I mean, it was a statless game for J.J. Watt, first time in his NFL career. And, Clint, some more stats here on the Texans sending three or fewer rushers at Drew Brees 16 times, including every drop back on the game-winning drive. That's the third most three-man rushes that Drew Brees has seen in a Saints uniform. That's a big-time stat right there. Brees was 13 of 16, 6 of 6 on third down versus three-man rushes last night. So that's the impact that it had on Drew Brees. Let's talk about the impact that that had on J.J. Watt rushing three on a lot of these downs where you know the Saints are going to be passing, you know J.J. Watt's going to be seeking the quarterback. Did that strategy of all these three-man rushes contribute to the quiet game by J.J. Watt?
Yeah. I mean, I think it contributed to the game, the quiet game, absolutely. I mean, there were times in the final drive where there was two guys rushing, and so he's automatically, zero doubt about it, getting double teamed. And so I think the plan, again, like what I said last night in the post-game show after watching as much of the film as I could, that I would pump my brakes on just, I guess, creating this is what the Texans are going to look like moving forward. Just pump the brakes a little bit, because last night's game plan was in large part due to who you were playing. And the fact that you've got to pick your poison. You've got to either play coverage or blitz. And then you try to mix it up in situational football and do some different things. But for the most part, whether you agree with it or not, for the most part last night, the plan was to drop 7 and 8 into coverage and really make them matriculate the ball down the field, essentially. And for the most part, they were successful doing that. When it's all said and done, the effect that that has on the defensive front you can't debate it. I mean, the effect that that has on J.J. Watt and Angelo Blackson and D.J. Reader, and then the times that you mixed in Whitney Mercilus. I mean, Whitney Mercilus quietly had a great game. When you're talking about having a big year and contract year, you got you a pick and a sack. I mean, that's a pretty damn good start to the season. And the opportunities were limited in how many times that Whitney Mercilus got to rush the passer. And so, again, whether I'm not saying that I agree or disagree, and you don't have to agree or disagree with the plan itself, but there's no debating that the plan, you just mentioned 16 snaps, there was three or fewer guys rushing. The plan was to play soft, bend, don't break, and simply allow double teams up front to play coverage on this dangerous receiving core.
And it almost worked, but it didn't. And now we look ahead to the Jacksonville game, and Clint and I are going to be diving into that a lot tomorrow, Thursday and Friday, leading up to Sunday's ball game, the home opener at NRG.
Think about that, Rick. Brees had 43 attempts and 16. I'm assuming that the number 16 was rushing three. That's just the pass plays that they're accounting for.
Correct. Yeah, he was 13 of 16.
16 of 43 snaps they took. So damn near half of it.
It's about a third.
40% for sure. 40% of the snaps, you brought three or fewer, including in the most critical situation, which was the very end of the game, you brought three or fewer pass rushers, and that's a 180 from what we saw last year with Clowney. You saw him cover all five offensive linemen and flat get after it and play games. You just didn't see a ton of that last night, and so surprised that J.J. Watt got shut out, but not surprised that it wasn't the same disruption, not a surprise that it wasn't the same results that you saw last year with Jadeveon Clowney in the mix.
Hopefully they can learn from it and get better. Let's talk about the offensive line, Clint, because it was woeful again. 6 sacks after 62 a year ago. Laramie Tunsil gave up a very visible sack to Hendrickson right before the play. Booger McFarland on the ESPN call said, this is the biggest snap of the game right here, and boom, Tunsil gives up a sack. And Bill O'Brien at his press conference earlier today talked about that number being too many.
We've got to cut down on that number. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we can't give up six sacks, but there's a lot that goes into it. You know, there were times where there were some pressures that we got to pick up better. You know, guys have to we have to coach it better. Our guys need to get their assignments down a little bit better. And then there's other times where maybe the ball needs to come out a little bit quicker. So, you know, we're going to work hard this week, but we know that we need to cut down on that number.
Here's what I'll agree with Bill O'Brien on is that that was a different six sacks than what we saw last year. Last year, when you watch the film, it was guys just flat getting smoked. You know, it was dysfunction up front and never having a chance. You know, one of the sacks last night that I remember off the top of my head because it killed a drive, and it was one of those, it was Deshaun throws into double coverage on the interception that's followed up, followed up with the penalty. Where Hopkins slams the receiver, and so you get a 15 yards on top of that. The very next drive, I believe you're on the 40, you're first and 10 on the 40-yard line, and you go sack, and end up having to punt instead of going move the ball 5 yards and get a long field goal attempt, which would have tied the ball game at 24-24, I believe, at that point in time. And Deshaun noticed the trouble up front, noticed he was going to get heated up, even pinpointed some things, and then snapped the ball and realized he was in trouble immediately. Should have got out of that, should have done something, got into a better play instead of keeping whatever on. And it was – so that sack was more than likely on Deshaun Watson. There were when he gave up the sack, that was a hell of a get-off by that defensive end, almost to the point where it was offsides. And so, you know, those are different types of sacks than – the fire drill last year that you saw consistently throughout the season. Still unacceptable, no doubt about it. Got to get better, but different six sacks relative to what you saw last year.
So the six sacks put the Texans on pace to allow 96 sacks after 62 a year ago. And I hope that's just a number here after a heartbreaking loss in week one and not a harbinger for the future.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.